Hello everyone and welcome to episode 2 of the Outside Edge Cricket Podcast. I'm your host Rudra and today I'm joined once again by my friends Kavan, Krishank and Siddhant. In part 1 of this mini-series, we looked at the problems that the bottom 6 teams faced this season. And in today's episode, we'll be looking at the contenders. That is, the top 4 teams that qualified for the playoffs and were fighting for the title this season. So, let's start off with the team that just made it into the top 4, thanks to the Mumbai Indians of course. And that is the Royal Challengers Bangalore. Now, in my opinion, I think the worst decision they would have probably made this year was opening with Anuj Rawat at the start. I mean, if they wanted to open with Kohli, then they should have just done that at the start of the season and played Rajat Patidar at number 3. Patidar was there with them last year. He did decently well for them. And we saw the form that he was in this year. So I think if he had performed right from the start, RCB would have deserved that spot more than anything. But I think this has got lucky more than anything to qualify for the playoffs.
I mean, I think again, as always, I mean, since a couple of seasons, we've been seeing this. One person who's been underperformed is Virat Kohli. 300 runs, very low strike rate. He's being paid 16 crores for what? I still don't understand. I mean, yeah, I just think that...
Brand.
Yeah, I mean, this is not done. I mean, people like Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, these people, you can't just pay them 16 crores as if it's nothing. They're not performing for your team, and there are people who deserve a spot in the team and deserve more money, much more money than what they're getting.
What about Ishan Kishan?
Bro, don't even get me started on that guy, man. So,
going back to
horrendous.
RCB.
Horrendous.
Okay. For me, the biggest surprise is the refusal of the RCB fans to accept Virat Kohli's failure in the first place. Like, they're so stubborn about his... So basically what happens is every innings that he plays, that's, let's say, 25 or 30 plus, that becomes a great innings in their minds because at least he didn't get out on a dock. So that's the... That's the problem.
This year, RCB had the most number of ducks, the most number of sixes conceded.
Yeah.
They are very lucky to come fourth. Because see, they're three big players in the batting lineup. Faf, Virat and Maxwell. All three had very bad seasons. Virat, on very low batting impact, I think, statistically. Maxwell, he's done his job, but I think he needs to take a bit more responsibility. Last year, he played very responsibly with AB at 5. So maybe having... I mean, he should be playing a similar role. This year, he's come and looked to just swing as hard as he can from ball one, which is not, I mean, that's not what they're paying him for. They should really thank Dinesh Karthik for what, I mean, he's single-handedly saved them so many times. And
he basically become the new AB for them this season.
Yeah, DK. Practically. Yeah. He won the Super Striker Award or something, right? It's the highest strike rate. So, I'm happy he's back in the Indian team. I think we need someone like him. But... I think Siraj probably had one of the worst seasons
in IPL.
I've been saying this for 3 years now. Mohammad Siraj is not a T20 bowler. Just play him in tests. Why is he playing? Why is he playing a T20? Not even the IPL.
Yeah,
he conceded 31 sixes this year after Hasaranga, who conceded 30. I think at the start, at the death, they're just confused where to play him. They bowl him at the start. He does decently well in a game and then they just pick him for the next one. I think he cannot bowl in the middle or the death. He is sort of effective in the power play, but I just don't think he's
even
a
then, even in the power play, he's done very well.
Yeah, that's
I think Siraj is the kind of bowler who, and I mean, I agree with Rudra. He just comes in, he bowls the hard lengths. He bowls on a bouncy pitch, he bowls with hard lengths. And I don't think he is a wicket-taking bowler. I don't think he's economical. So, I mean, unless you want consistency in terms of line and length, I don't think you should pick him in a T20 game. And which is not required for a T20 game. So, I mean, I don't know why you're picking Siraj.
I think Harshal Patel also, I mean, he's not a one-season wonder. He's passed that test. He did very well this year. Hasaranga did well. But, I mean, if you ask, I mean, Chahal. You were getting Chahal for 6 crores. You bought Hasaranga for 11 crores, but he didn't even add any batting depth. So, he did well.
Chahal can barely hold the bat.
Yeah, Hazaranga is supposed to be a good batsman. That's why they paid 11 crores for him. Nicely, they were retaining Chahal
I think
Yusuf's
the
goals.
the I mean coming back to even Hasaranga, I think the same issue with Hasaranga was with I forgot the name of the previous bowler, Kuldeep Yadav, where he took 26 wickets, which was the joint highest before the season, but he also conceded 30 sixes. So he's taking the important wickets, but again, where's the economy? I mean, it's a T20 game. You also have to bowl economical rate.
He had a couple of innings where he took a lot of wickets. That helped. I mean, I think 5 for 18 against 5 for 18 and 4 wickets. He took a lot of wickets in certain innings. But see, he's done well. But the worst thing, I think. I mean, how funny was that video that they posted after Mumbai beat Delhi?
Yeah.
Where they started chanting whether like they won the IPL. I think that was pathetic. It just shows why they aren't going to win an IPL. They don't have the winning mentality, in my opinion. The funniest thing to me is the three players who celebrated the most were Faf, Virat and Maxwell. But in the playoffs, Rajat Patidar, he scored more runs in both his innings than all three of those combined in both those innings in the eliminator and qualifier. So that shows how badly they've underperformed, the three of them. And that's pretty much the only reason why they're not maybe gone further. I thought they were going to win when they reached the playoff, when Mumbai let them.
I've always thought RCB is never destined to win. I mean, its entire fan base is only filled with Kohli fans. It does none of its fan base have any sort of dedication towards the game itself. They just are RCB fans because of Kohli. So,
and AB, but he's also gone.
Yeah, I think RCB lost a couple of important fans when AB left.
Yeah. See, RCB is always known to have very good. This thing is always known to have very good players, and they always look extremely good on paper, but they are never able to perform, and that's never able to perform as a team, and they're never able to qualify. I mean, if they qualify, they're not able to go past the qualifier too. So,
I think
I don't know what's wrong, but something's wrong with it.
Also, the very concerning thing is Faf, because Faf, I don't think he had a very good IPL. He scored runs, I think 400 plus runs, but then he scored a lot of runs in certain innings. And the innings where he did score his runs, they ended up losing those games. And he's playing completely different than he did last year, because he's for some reason playing anchor. He's playing slowly
because
at the start.
That, I'm telling you why.
That's not what's needed.
You look at him. See, again, what I'm coming back to them having a consistent opening batsman. When you have someone like Anuj Rawat, you can't rely on him to play the big shots or to play a beginning. So somewhere down the line, somewhere on the back of the mind, on the back of his mind, he's like, okay, I need to be there. I need to anchor this team because I also need to guide Anuj Rawat. Then when Kohli came in, Kohli was also not performing. So then that sort of adds more pressure on the other opening batsman. Whereas last year when Ruturaj Gaikwad was performing, Duplessis could be free.
But whenever Virat was also scoring runs, Virat is a proper anchor. So he also knows that. Qualifier 2, what, 25 or 27? That's that's very low. I mean, it's not good. It's not good for the team to score, have such a low impact in it.
I think it's come with
the captaincy role. Obviously, if Kohli or Anuj Rawat or whatever the opening pair was performed, obviously he would play with a little more freedom. But I think with the captaincy, he is felt obligated to take the innings to the end and be there. If he wasn't captain, then obviously he would have played with a little more freedom.
And that gives Maxwell fewer balls. And he is your star. He is the one who's going to get you the big runs. So, yeah, I mean, it's concerning because he's the captain. You can't drop Hasaranga, you can't drop Hazelwood, you can't drop Maxwell. So they're completely inflexible in that regard. They obviously can't drop Faf because he's the captain.
Also, stupidest decision, I think, was not retaining Devdutt Padikkal and then playing Anuj Rawat as the opener. I think they should have bought Padikkal back in the auction, played him as the opener, and then Kohli could have played at 3. But a very, very average season, I would say, for them. Maybe a 5 out of 10 for me.
I would give them a 6 because I've never expected RCB to do well anyways.
Yeah, maybe because...
I'll say 7, I guess, because they did get into qualifier too.
That's the reason I'll give them a 7 as well.
All right, so moving on to the next team, the team that made their debut this season, Lucknow Super Giants. I think LSG was probably one of the strongest teams on paper this season, just because of the options that they had in the middle order and the amount of bowling options that they had. I think they were playing three or four all-rounders alongside their three or four specialist bowlers this season, who all of them, I think, did it decently well for him. Krunal Pandya, Jason Holder, all of them were performing with the ball and contributing with the bat. I think a disappointing season, I would say. I think just selection-wise, they did not pick a proper number three. They were playing, Vijay Shankar at number three for the first, I think, five
Manish
or six.
Pandya, Manish Pandya.
No, it was
Vijay
Shankar.
Sorry, my bad. Yeah.
Manish Pandya.
Even Manish Pandey, they dropped him midway through the season. So their batting just wasn't strong over there. They had good finishers, they had good openers, but in the middle order, I think they just missed a trick over there.
I mean, when we looked at LSG in the beginning, they looked like a strong team, but for all the wrong players. I mean, we thought they were a strong team because of Avesh Khan. I mean, Avesh Khan did have a good season, but he was very average. The main reason why they were able to qualify was because of Mohsin Khan, which is very unexpected. Firstly, we expected Ravi Bishnoi, right? Bishnoi was with LSG.
Yeah.
We expected Bishnoi to do well. Bishnoi also had a very average season. The only person I think we expected to do well and did extremely well was, as always, KL Rahul. I mean, excellent captain, excellent opener. I mean, what else can you ask for?
I wouldn't say he was an excellent captain. With Punjab, I think he repeated a few of the things. They could have won a couple of games that they lost. And I think the performance that highlighted the season was the game against Gujarat, where they were bowled out for, I think, 80. That showed how inconsistent and unreliable the team was.
See, I think, the main talking points are the two all-rounders that they've got, Marcus Stoinis and Jason Holder. They've completely underutilized those two people. As Stoinis, they've, you know, hell-bent that he's the finisher. They bring him in number six, giving him one or two overs. It's not right because Stoinis is, we've seen with the Melbourne Stars, we've seen in Delhi also that he's much more than that, and they could have utilized him very easily. And Jason Holder, they had to drop because KL Rahul himself said that, you know, we've not been able to utilize Jason Holder very well. So we've decided to drop him for Evan Lewis. So I think when you got two stars that you paid, also Marcus Stoinis was someone they chose in the pre-auction draft. So I think but overall it's a good season considering that they were going to qualify in the top two, but they got slightly unlucky with that, I think. I think it's Rahul, it's a bit curious. I mean, he obviously got his runs. I think in terms of runs, he's got a very good season, but then in the eliminator, he got 80 runs, but he was not good at all. He was playing very slowly until the end, and that's not actually what's needed when you're chasing 200 plus runs. And also, you've got such a tall batting lineup. So I think KL has to. I think Sanjay Manjrekar only said this. He has to improve in terms of that regard. He needs to be more aggressive, at least when he's playing for India. He does that, so he needs to do that for LSG as well. But overall, I think a good season. And
yeah,
once they have someone like
Mahfood
back.
I mean, I think with LSG, we also saw the importance of having a good opening pair. I mean, when you have QDK and Rahul, who are both doing so well, I mean, that sort of worry goes away. And then you can concentrate on, I mean, you can, you know, put focus more on your efforts on, you know, the other parts of your squad. So that again brings us back to how important having a good, strong and consistent opening pair, because as you know, QDK, he also did extremely well this season. And I mean, again, I don't know why Mumbai dropped him or why Mumbai didn't buy him back, but yeah, I mean, and of course Mohsin Khan, again, he used to play in the nets for Mumbai for the past 3-4 years. We released him and then look at what he's gone and done. I mean, I don't think we'll remember Mohsin Khan has been with Mumbai since the beginning. He was found by the Mumbai scouting team, and I don't know what's happened and why they released him, and look at how he's performed. So that's again something that Mumbai will be pinching themselves for, letting go of Mohsin Khan.
He was bought for something like 20 lakhs, and
exactly.
I mean, base.
he's literally perfect. I mean, he bowls 145 plus, and he can swing the ball, and he's left arm. I mean, that I think it was a KKR game. He was bowling against JSR and everyone. They couldn't play him. Two or three runs he went for in 3 overs, in the first few overs. So he's the future with Umran Malik and Arshdeep. I think we've got some really good talents in terms of fast bowling this year.
Also, I think that's one thing that Zahir Khan has done very well. I think he's not gone for the players that are big names. He's gone. He hasn't minded looking back on his reserves and using the players that he had from his reserves. Something that other teams, I think, have lacked in doing.
Also, a great season for Deepak Hooda, I think. He was performing exceptionally well, 400, 500 runs something at a strike rate of 140 or 150. So, yeah, I think he's the future for India. He's just 27. He can bowl as well. He can play anywhere in the middle order. So, yeah, great season for him. And I think LSG overall, I would give them an 8 out of 10 for their performance.
Yeah,
it's their debut year. I think they need that one batsman in the middle order. And maybe once they have Mark Wood back, I think they'll have their bowling order sorted. So, yeah, I think great season for them.
I think, yeah, I mean, Evan Lewis, if they played him slightly sooner instead of Jason Holder, it could have helped. They could have made a difference. But yeah, I'd say 8 on 10. It's a good season, good first season, I'd say.
Yeah. All right. So moving on to Rajasthan Royals, I think the team that reached the finals after the very first season. I was honestly rooting for Rajasthan to win the tournament this year. I think they had a great squad this time. Their bowling lineup, I think, was one of the best and most balanced this year, with Bolt, Prasad Krishna, Chahal, Ashwin. I think they didn't have any holes in their team. People say that Riyan Parag was a weakness on the side, but I don't think so. Riyan Parag, whenever he got the chance, he performed decently well for them. He's I think the best fielder in the tournament, and I think, yeah, Rajasthan, they got unlucky in that final. I think Gujarat was just the better team there, but great season for Rajasthan overall, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, since the beginning, they were one team that everyone was expecting to do well. They had an extremely good, they had a very good auction. They have a very good 11, and I think they were able to meet people's expectations by reaching the final. Of course, even I was rooting for Rajasthan to win. I mean, I think their squad was just perfect. Right from having a good opening pair to having a good middle order batsman to having a strong bowling attack, they just had a perfect squad, and in my opinion, they should have won the league.
And I mean, we can't not talk about Butler. I mean, what a season! I don't think anyone's had like this kind of firepower in be it the start of the innings or the end. So even if he started badly, he would always make up for it and then fire at the end. So I think his form was impeccable this year. And I mean, some people say that some people believe that he carried Rajasthan's batting forward. I mean, that's partially true, but like, we assume just because he performed well that he was carrying Rajasthan's batting forward, but I think they had enough batting quality to at least make up for it, if not completely cover his deficit. So even if he didn't perform as amazingly as he has done in most innings, I don't think Rajasthan's like felt his absence that deeply, because they've still managed to perform.
Who was Rajasthan's both Butler's opening pair before Yashasvi?
Yashasvi, then they got.
They, I think, opened with Devdutt in a couple of games, and then they went back to Yashasvi.
I think Yashasvi
did very well for them. I think he played his role perfectly. Came in the power play. He was a proper power play batsman, came in, started swinging the bat, scored 25-30 odd runs at strike rate of 150-160. Then that gave way to Sanju Samson, Dedar Padikkal, who again, I think Samson played a very different role this year. I think even the commentators talked about it, about how instead of, you know, him taking a few balls, he goes at the ball from ball one. And I think one of the stats that I saw this year was, I think in every of his games, in the first few balls, he hit a boundary.
He had the most number of runs in the first 10 balls faced by any batsman in the tournament.
And that's why he needs to be given another chance for India. Because India have so many anchor type batsmen. We don't have a player who can just come in from the start and start hitting. And that's what Sanju, maybe he's doing this. That's not probably the role that Rajasthan needed him to do, but that's the role he did. He got very quick 30s and 40s throughout. And that's good for Indian. That's good for the Indian
team.
I think
he also played, he also was an excellent captain. I mean, we shouldn't take that away from him. He captained the side very well, along with Sangakkara.
I mean, it's probably an unpopular opinion, but I don't think that Rajasthan's team was as perfect as, you know, Kishang or many other people have said. I think they had some pretty big holes. Like, for instance, Devdutt Padikkal. They had Devdutt Padikkal and Yashasvi Jaiswal. And in the end, they didn't really know what to do with Devdutt Padikkal. They ended up demoting him to number four. And Devdutt Padikkal, at least in the last couple of IPL seasons, he's not a number four batsman. He's a more of a power play batsman. And I think he really did struggle this year. He got a couple of 50s, but he's not, as a number four, you know, following someone like Butler and Samson, you need to be a bit more dynamic. And he always takes a lot of time to get it. So Devdutt Padikkal, they need to somehow solve that situation. I think maybe they might sell him also, considering they paid 10 crores for him. But that was one big issue, I think, having Devdutt Padikkal in the middle order. I think there's all, in terms of balance, they were looking a lot for the solution to their balance issues. Like, they tried a lot of different players. I think they tried James Neesham and Van der Dusen and all these different overseas players, even Darrell Mitchell, I think. But
I mean, I think I want to interrupt you there because I don't think they were necessarily getting those players in because of balance. They were basically just adjusting to the conditions and based on what pitch they were playing, based on the pitch condition and where they thought they required an extra fast bowler, or they required an extra batsman, or they required a particular skill set. That's when they got in the likes of James Neesham, the likes of Darrell Mitchell, to just come in and, you know, play that specific role for those specific conditions.
See, but in terms of balance, what I'm saying is, in their main starting 11, if you see, none of their top six could bowl. Riyan Parag, they tried bowling, but they completely lost faith in him. They stopped giving him the ball very early on in the tournament. So they didn't have a six bowl. They didn't necessarily always have a six bowling option.
They didn't need a six bowling option throughout the tournament. They felt the need to have a six bowler.
No, but like, I mean, there was one game, I think, in the playoffs where Chahal and Ashwin, they didn't pick a wicket. So in that, you always do need a sixth option. It's in T20 cricket, at least, it's necessary. I mean, also, in terms of the five bowlers, Ashwin was the only one who could bat, and he was coming in at seven. I think seven is a bit too high for Ashwin anyway.
He didn't
bat well. He bat. Yeah, he was coming at seven.
He came in at number three. That's
point is, in the main lineup, when they had Sanju at three, Padikkal at four, they had Ashwin coming in at seven. It's a bit, I'm not sure. I mean, you're trusting Ashwin to be sort of like a
batted very well, I think. Even when he came in at number three, I think he batted very well. He was able to, I mean, that one game where he carried, and he was
batting smart, I think, more than anything. He wasn't playing aggressive shots or anything. He was just batting smart. He was getting those boundaries when needed and then just rotating the shot.
I was very impressed with
that innings was CSK was very good. Yeah, I mean, I agree, but then it's still a bit too high for me. And then also, finally, in that terms of the death bowling, they solved it with Obid McCoy. That much I'll give you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Prasad and Trent, they aren't traditionally very strong death bowlers. Even Trent Bolt, I mean, his numbers aren't good at the death at all. But I think Obid McCoy did solve that. So, I mean, that's fine. I think they do, if they should really go hard for someone like Sam Curran next year, because that would make their team a lot stronger. And they really do basically need that number seven type all-rounder. So that's
I think more than that, Rajasthan should go and find a good replacement for Devdutt Padikkal. Because as you said,
perhaps,
I mean, that does make sense. Like, Devdutt Padikkal being at number 4 isn't the best of...
in the finals, what?
Okay.
2 of 10? 2
yeah.
of 10
two
in
of
the finals.
Two of nine.
I'll agree to that. I think Devdutt Padikkal, he seemed lost midway through the tournament, batting at number 4. Like, he just didn't know when to go for the shots and when to just take his time. So I think
I would much rather have Riyan Parag at 4, because he does have a lot of talent. Like, he does very well domestically also, and find someone else to bat at 6.
Personally, I was fairly impressed with Hetmyer's performance also. I think he has the potential to take games to the end and bring them over the line. Obviously, I'm not talking about the number 4 replacement over here, but as a finisher, I think Hetmyer's pretty set.
He did very well.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with Common completely. Hetmyer was, I mean, considering the seasons he's had last year, he was able to perform very well for them, come in and, you know, play the finishing role perfectly. But I think, yeah, next year, I think the main weakness, in my opinion, like as everyone said, is probably finding a number four batsman that can also, you know, bowl. So, yeah, I mean, and just sell Devdutt Padikkal off. I mean, I don't think you need him. And I don't really think he gelled with the team. I mean, since the beginning, I don't think he ever felt like
yeah,
he was part of the team.
I think,
yeah, he belonged to the team.
I think the issues I talked about, they were insignificant, because ultimately when you have specialists, when you have what, Ashwin and Chahal as your bowling, and you have, you know, you have Butler and Samson, these types of players, most of the times they're going to win you the games. It's just in the certain small situations, that balance does help. But overall, I think, given, I mean, they were almost at a perfect, not perfect season, but they had a very good season, despite all these limitations, despite, you know, Padikkal and all, Parag being
yeah,
in.
I mean,
so
this is the first time where you're seeing the purple cap and the orange cap from the team who's not won the IPL.
Yeah. No, I think it's the
yeah.
third time.
Chahal was just brilliant. I mean,
he's the most number of wickets for a spinner in IPL ever.
Yeah.
In a single season,
yeah.
27.
He's, yeah. Even Ashwin did very well. A very clever bowler. But, yeah. Overall, I'd give them like a 9. 9, yeah, sorry.
I think I would say, maybe this is an unpopular opinion, but I'd say I'd pick Ashwin over. I'd pick Ashwin over Kuldeep Yadav if I had to for the World Cup squad. I think just purely because of the batting that Ashwin brings in at number 7. I know Ashwin didn't pick a lot of wickets this season, but he was bowling economically, I think, in every single game. And also, he can bowl throughout phases. I think he can bowl in the power play. He can come in towards the...
Doubt we need... I mean, we can debate the bowling quality of Kuldeep and Ashwin, but I doubt we need the batting of Ashwin in the Indian squad at least.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah,
I think...
And also, I think I disagree with, I heard this from many different commentators saying that Ashwin was trying too much and he was using too many different variations and that's what cost them the IPL. I mean, I think I disagree with them completely. I mean, I think if you give Ashwin the freedom, I mean, he needs that freedom to play to the best of his ability, and unless and until you don't give him that freedom, you're not going to get the best out of him.
I would still give Kuldeep chances in the Indian team for the next couple of months, because I mean, Kuldeep, when he was playing under MS, was, I mean, with MS behind as a keeper, was a match winner for us. So if he can get that back, then Kuldeep could be a lock in for me.
So overall, I think I'd give Rajasthan maybe an 8.5 or 9 out of 10 for the season. I think despite the couple of changes that they need for next season, I think they're pretty set with a good core. So yeah.
Yeah, 9.
I'll give them a 9.
9, yeah.
All right, moving on to the team, obviously, which won the title this year in their very first season, led by Hardik Pandya, Gujarat Titans. I think they had a phenomenal first season. The way they started the tournament, they had 3-3 wins, and they just never stopped winning. I mean, they were consistently at the top. They never dropped, I think. They were winning games from losing positions. I think the Diman Saha did amazingly well for them as an opener, giving them starts consistently throughout the tournament. And I think their finishers, I think David Miller, this is probably the season where David Miller has shown what he can truly bring to the table. He never really performed with Punjab, but now I think he's going to play a huge role for Gujarat in the future alongside Rahul Tewatia.
Speaking about the team in general, I think all of us would agree that on paper they didn't look like title winners. But I think the team chemistry was the best among all teams. So they gelled together the best, and I think that's what won them most matches. Like even if someone wasn't performing well, the rest of the team members put their hand up and ensured that the job was done eventually. I think one major example of that is Tewatia. He's brought their team over the line so many times. So, I think the team chemistry was one good reason. I think we can talk about Hardik Pandya's batting later, but captaincy-wise, I think he brought a lot of energy into the team. That's what I think, that's what they needed, because we've seen a lot of examples of captains, despite batting well, they've not been able to captain well. But Hardik Pandya, I think he's been a good captain. He's brought a lot of fresh energy, fresh motivation into the team. So that's one plus point for me for sure.
And I think this actually shows the importance of having a good management in a side. I think Ashish Nehra, Gary Christian, and alongside Hardik Pandya, I think just the energy and the vibe that they created in the entire team, you could see that while they were performing, when they were off the field. I think that really, really counts in a tournament that's so long, going on for about 2.5-3 months. I think that just shows the importance of having a good management, which a few good teams didn't have this year.
I mean, this may be an unpopular opinion, but honestly, I mean, I think Gujarat's strength will also turn out to be its weakness in the coming years, because, see, as Kaban said, and I completely agree with him, they were the most, they performed as a team. And they were always, you know, one single unit. But I think they also lack match winners. And whoever may say whatever, but I think every team needs one or two of those match winners. And if you don't have those match winners, then I think you're not going to be consistently be winning a tournament like IPL. I mean, if you look at Mumbai has always had one or two match winners. That's why it's able to not only win one, two, or like multiple titles. But when we look at Gujarat, it's always that if one person wasn't performing, the other was. But you never had one consistent match winner who's been performing every single match. Like, for example, when you look at the batting, they had three different batsmen with 400 plus runs, but not a single batsman with more than 500 runs. So I think it was always one person putting their hand up, but not having that one or two players who are performing for the team regularly, other than probably Rashid Khan.
If Gujarat can have a good auction next year, and by good auction, I probably mean getting the best, amongst the best overseas batsmen. Because if you see, they were playing Matthew Wade at three. Now, if you have someone like Ben Stokes at three, or I don't know whoever else is available at three. If you have one of the best T20 batsmen playing there, then I think that entire team just elevates. And I can honestly see them doing as well next year, because number five, number six, number seven, they've got three finishers who they aren't match winners on paper, but this IPL, they've been match winners. I think David Miller was just insane this year. 480 runs or something like that. So as a number five.
Okay. I agree with David Miller. But
in terms of match winners, in their bowling, you've got Rashid Khan, you've got Shami.
In terms of finishers, can you really count on Rashid Khan and Tewada to be your finishers?
You have David Miller.
Yeah, I think they will do it, because see, next year
David
they'll do
Miller
it.
And... at four. He's not, you can't classify him as a finisher.
See, David Miller, he came at number five. And I think Gujarat just need a proper number three right now, because they have the opener slot. They have Hardik Pandya at number four. Miller 5, Tevatia 6, and then Rashid Khan at number 7. You could say that Rashid Khan performs like once in 3 or 4 innings while batting, but I think Gujarat, their bowling was their biggest strength this year. The best bowling lineup, I think, without a doubt. Yep. Rashid Khan, Mohammad Shami, and yeah, I yes, think
Lucky,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yes,
see,
but...
I also in terms of the finishing thing, they're playing Hardik at 4 or 3. So usually if Hardik also plays himself in, he is probably still India's best finisher. Or one, up there with DK. So he'll also come into the picture a lot more next season, I think.
But think about this way. I mean, the same, when we're talking about Duplessis, why do we say that he wasn't able to play as well as he did before? Because of his captaincy. So I think that would also apply to Hardik. When the captaincy role comes into picture, unless you're MS Dhoni, you can't finish freely. And you can't play to the best of your ability, and you can't, strike at 180, 200.
I think also Hardik's, along with his captaincy, Hardik's bowling this year was, I was so surprised. In the first game itself, he bowled 4.
That's the biggest positive, I think, for the Indian team and for Gujarat, I think, as a whole. Hardik bowling, I think, yeah. That just brings the best out of him. Batting plus bowling those 4 overs. And also another thing to mention, Tevatia didn't bowl at all this season. They went through the season without Tevatia bowling. So if they want, they can just play Hardik at 5, Miller at 6, and Tevatia at 7. And then use Hardik and Tevatia as those 5th and 6th bowling options. So I think Gujarat have a great core right now. They just need a couple of batsmen who can play that number 3, number 4 role. and they'll be sorted.
I would still think that they would need a finisher because Miller had a very good season this year, but again, consistency. You cannot rely on him.
They'll need with Miller to do as well next year because in number five, but I think honestly they just need a superstar at number three, an overseas superstar. If they get Ben Stokes, then it just transforms and you'll have Ben Stokes playing up front. So let's see.
I would say overall I think maybe a perfect season for Gujarat. 10-10, probably a 9.5. But first season winning the title, just unbelievable. Lots of positives for them.
I'm giving them a 10. I mean, nobody, as I think somebody said, no one expected them to do. And they were so dominant. I mean, they won. I mean, they lost two or three games, I think, in the whole season, whole campaign. They did get a bit, a lot of their wins were in the last over. But, it just purely on numbers perspective, they were very dominant.
They got very lucky.
I don't agree with that.
I'm not sure it's luck.
Even though their captain said that, I think Hardik said that, we're getting very lucky and the luck will eventually run out. But I don't think that it was luck. It was the team gelling together well. And it was the team themselves, like people putting their hand up and bringing them over the line. So,
I agree. Like, they had the best, playing as a single unit and stuff. But then again, the lack of match winners is what's going to cost them next season, in my opinion.
All right. Some heated discussion here about the future of the first-time champions, Gujarat Titans. With that, we have come to the end of the second episode of this mini-series, the IPL Saga. Thank you, and I hope you'll enjoy listening to us. Stay tuned for episode 3, where we'll be discussing the best fantasy 11 of the season. We'll be discussing drafts and a lot more. Until next time, goodbye.